Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another morning devotion with Brother Mark. Here we are, June the 4th, 2019, Tuesday morning. Hope you're having a great week already. Yeah, big week around the Campbell household, you know, as our son will be walking down the aisle on Saturday. He got a big test Wednesday also for his state board. So a big week for us at the Campbell household. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Or in other words, he sent his son to experience his wrath. So I've been thinking a lot about discipleship recently. A little over a year ago, I read a book called Discipling, and ever since then, I've been thinking about discipleship. I've read books and listened to podcasts and all types of things. And in my recent studies, I've found encouragements to practice discipleship and how to teach discipleship and all of those kind of things. But I've been thinking a lot about what makes a good disciple. What would cause someone to deny yourself daily and pick up your cross and follow Christ? Today at the mission, I taught this passage of Scripture. And during that lesson, what's the mission, by the way? And it's, for those of you who don't know, it's a drug rehab center that where they teach the drug addicts that the answer to their addiction is Christ, and there's 5.5 hours of Bible study. So I go up on Mondays and teach Bible there. So anyway, so today was my day, and I taught on this passage of Scripture, and during that lesson, I talked about Saul of Tarsus. Think about who he was. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Knowing that he was a Pharisee, we presumed that he would have been wealthy and very influential. He would have been a very popular person, a person that many wish they could have been like. Then you think about Paul the Apostle. Would he have been wealthy? Well, we don't really know. But we do know that he had to work as a tent maker to support himself. Was he influential? He lost that influence of being a Pharisee. A lot of the Jews didn't like Paul, right? Because remember, they stoned him. Would he have been popular? Of course not. He would have been hated. Again, he was stoned and left for dead. I'm sure that many people shook their heads when they think about Paul. They would have been saying, "Poor old Saul. He had so much going for him, and then he had to leave it all behind to follow after that Jesus. Why would he preach a message about a dead man anyway?" You know, so think about that. What would cause a man like Saul of Tarsus to forsake his position in society and maybe leave behind his wealth and all of his influence and teach that life, eternal life, comes through a man who had been crucified, this Jesus of Nazareth? Why would he do that? Why would he leave all of that behind and choose to follow Jesus? Well, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. On that road to Damascus, Paul was born again. And Paul's life was never the same. When sin revived and Paul died and he met Jesus and Jesus quickened him and made him alive, it was never the same. Paul even said, "The things that were gained for me, I counted them but dung that I might win Christ." Paul loved Jesus. This is why he made such a dramatic change in his life. Paul understood that God had sent his son to be the propitiation for his sins, to suffer the wrath of God on Paul's behalf. And Paul loved Christ for that. Paul understood the love that Christ had for him. This is why he served God. Now to think about the question, what makes a good disciple of Jesus? Well, I think what makes a good disciple of Jesus is an understanding of the love Christ has for his disciple. That love that the disciple understands that Christ has for him will cause the disciple to forsake his life and follow Jesus. You know, there will come times in your Christian life when you're presented with a temptation and you will say things like, I love Jesus too much to do that. You know, there's probably plenty of opportunities for you to sin, and sometimes you say, I love Jesus too much to do that. I talked about Kimberly and I, we just recently celebrated our 31st wedding anniversary. And for both of us, there have probably been many times when we had the opportunity to have an affair or something would have presented itself. And there were times, we would say, look, I love my spouse too much to do that. I love Christ too much to do that. And so there's times that when sin comes your way, you say, I love Jesus too much to do that. Then there would be times when you're called to serve God. And you know, you're going to have to make some type of sacrifice, either your time or your talent or of your money. And a good disciple will say, I love God too much not to do that. You see, that love that we understand that comes from God, and then we love Him in return. It is that love that stirs us to action. So a disciple, a good disciple, will understand that God loves him. And because God loves the disciple will love God in return. Remember, we love him because he first loved us. So a good disciple also remembers Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A good disciple will present his body a living sacrifice because he recognizes the sacrifice that Jesus has made for him. He understands the love that God has for him. And his heart will be stirred to love God because he understands the love that God has for him. You see, the disciple understands the place from which God rescued him. Like the guy at the mission said today, I should be in jail, I should be dead, or I should be institutionalized. But God rescued me from that. You know, it's like the old song, He set me free, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. You see, a disciple understands that Jesus sets him free. And so since he understands he's been rescued, he then chooses to live for Christ because Christ rescued his life. In our text, we see the proof of love that God has for his people by his actions. God proves he loves us by the offering of his son for his people. As the old saying goes, actions speak louder than words. And so you say you love God, but what do your actions prove? Do they prove you love God? You say you love God. Do your actions agree? Remember, Jesus said, how can you say that you love me and do not the things that I say? A good disciple will love God. His actions will prove his love. And so my question today is, what do your actions say about you? That you love God? I pray that they do. So today, Lord, as we come to you in prayer, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your love is not just a concept or an idea. Your love was proven. We can look at the cross and see your love. We can see how you suffer the wrath of God on our behalf. And so therefore, we understand your love. I pray, Lord, today that we can love you the same as you have loved us. I pray, Lord, that when we enter into temptation, we will remember your love. I pray that your love for us will cause us to say, I love God too much to do that. I also pray that as we remember your love to us, that we will understand that any sacrifice that you ask of us is nothing compared to the sacrifice you made for us. I pray, God, that you would help us to say, I love God too much not to serve him. Lord, we can never repay you for your love. I pray, though, that we will continue to be overwhelmed when we think how much you loved us, and that will stir our hearts to love you more. We thank you that we can love you because you first loved us. Bless your people today as they think about your love. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I'll never get over the love that Christ had for me. And I pray you neither do you. Until tomorrow, Pastor Mark signing off.